This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
So we're talking about, I've been giving you the bottom line up front. And I want to do that again today, because today's going to be a little different. So I told the last gathering, I'm going to tell you, like if you're a note taker, and I know none of you are, you have your phones and all this kind of stuff, maybe set that aside for today, because this morning's going to be a little bit more of a conversation with you. And it doesn't matter if you've been here for years and years and years, or you kind of wandered in for the very, very first time. This is for you today. But the bottom line up front is, when a no becomes a yes, just kind of hang on to that. When a no becomes a yes, and we will circle back to that in just a little bit. But I've made a statement several times. If you've been around the community much at all, I've made the statement that we all stand on a platform built by someone else. And I've used this platform as kind of a illustration of that, illustrating that there were people that were years before us, right? Who invested so much in this platform. And we get to do this together because of their investment. That goes back, not just church leaders, it goes back to many, many people in the community who invested time and finances and effort to build the platform that we stand on today and provide the opportunity for us to worship together. Some know the story, and many don't, that in order to purchase this facility and build this facility, there were 12 families who put their home up for collateral. And they were so invested in this community that they said, if this thing doesn't make it, we will risk losing our home. And they, I believe most of them, nearly all of them have passed away. They're with Jesus. But it was because of their commitment. So I called them, I refer to them as platform builders. I refer to past leaders that have invested in all of us as platform builders. And I think that's true of a church like us and a community like us, it's also true, I think, personally, right?
Because in
you've had influencers.
Absolutely. There's been coaches along the way. There's been, I think about my parents. I mean, I would not be where I am today without the sacrifices that they made. Like, it, because of what they chose to do, it allows me to be where I am.
Yeah, they spoke into your life.
Right.
They had a part of who you are today. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that we always have appreciated that, right?
Right. No, it's easy to pass by and just kind of keep on living, but to recognize,
right?
Yeah.
And some of us are in the stage right now where we're investing in someone's life. Maybe it's our kids, maybe it's someone that God has brought you around, and you are that person in their life. For many of you, the platform that you're standing on today is because of you. By the grace of God, you have overcome obstacles and challenges in your life, because I know there are some who go, like, I've never really experienced that, never really experienced someone investing in my life. Mm-hmm. But God has brought you along, and His grace has upheld you, and you stand on that platform because of the grace of God, and now you're building for someone else. Mm-hmm. It is a true statement. And I'd like to talk about some of Paul's words out of Ephesians chapter 4, where he really talks about leaders in the church. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he says, and he gave the apostles, and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers. Now, I'll finish the verse in just a moment, but that's really two characteristics of one person, I think, talking about the pastoral role. Both shepherd the sheep, invest in the sheep, right? Help guide as the Lord enables, and teach. And then he goes on to equip the saints for the work of ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. So there's a purpose behind these gifts to the church. Of note, I think, and it should be made, and aren't you thankful that he doesn't talk about perfect people?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I would have been disqualified, that's for sure.
Well, all of us would have been disqualified. He doesn't just use perfect people. Mm-hmm. So turn to the person beside you and go, amen, you know, because we are so happy for that, right? Mm-hmm. And it does beg the question sometimes, and I've asked the question, God, why would you choose people like me or like us or like Amos? Why would you do that? Because God could do this thing himself, right? Mm-hmm. He is God.
No need for us.
No, really, there's not. Like, mm-hmm. he could just do it.
Mm-hmm. could.
Nothing else will come out, but he just will do it. But he chooses to use you and he chooses to use me. Mm-hmm. He does and he always has and he always will. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. We're going to look at one biblical character for just a moment and where we could talk about this. But most of us, you know, some of us might be really, really new to the Bible, but most of us know about this guy named Moses, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, prophet in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. One of the more prominent people in the Old Testament. And we know that God chose Moses to lead the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt and onto the Promised Land, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also know that Moses wasn't too happy about it either. He wasn't too thrilled about the job that God was giving him, you know. It's not like Moses was going like, choose me, right?
Nope.
No, rather, he was actually saying the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. He was saying something completely different. He was saying, not me. Don't choose me.
Exactly. Like, Choose the other guy.
Right.
Right. He'd be better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't choose me, choose him.
Right.
But God, interesting in his providence, I think, did something. Well, let's kind of walk through the story for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing, so we're in like Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, mm-hmm. but the very, very first thing that Moses experienced is what's called a theophany. And so what's happening here is there's a bush that's burning and it's not being consumed.
Right.
So just kind of imagine that for just a moment. And maybe when you have read through that part of the story, you go like, well, If something up here, if the piano was on fire, but the piano was never consumed, we'd go like, what's going on?
Absolutely.
So that's Moses, right?
That was his response. It's like, hey, the bush is on fire and it's not being consumed.
Right.
I need to go check this thing out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So instead of it drawing him away, he goes to check it out, mm-hmm. and then something happens.
And so he checks it out. Yeah. He recognizes, here's this voice of God calling him. And he says, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. And Moses takes off his sandals and recognizes that this is an encounter with the living God.
Exactly. And then God speaks to Moses. And what he says to him ought to be, I pray, an encouragement for every one of us today, each one of us. Mm. And God says, I've heard the cry of my people, and I have come down to rescue them. Can you imagine that? I mean, I know when we're going through stuff, right? Sometimes we think like, where's God? Mm-hmm. Does he hear me?
Right.
But I think what we gain from the truth of the scripture, God does hear,
right.
and God does respond, and that's what we see happening. So he says, I've heard the cry of my people, and so I have come down to rescue them, and his plan is to use Moses.
And when he lets Moses know that, Moses' response is,
not me.
Nope.
Not me.
Nope.
Right.
I mean, I think I got the wrong guy.
Right.
You know, check out something else, right?
Not me. So then God does something. Now, I would like to think, okay, if you did all these miracles, all these signs in front of me, then I'd go, hey, no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at those in chapter 4, you know, the first opening verses. They're like,
pretty
God's
special.
Doing all of these signs. Go, Moses, look, it's me. Look at what I can do.
Right.
Like, basically, like, you don't have to worry because I'm God and I got this,
yes.
and I'm going to use you.
Yes.
But then Moses gives thought to that. He's got this great excuse, right?
Absolutely.
He goes,
you know, I have this speech impediment.
Yeah.
Like, I stutter when I speak. So I think you missed it, God. And I can't do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you imagine telling God that, God, I can't speak well? So therefore, it's not me.
Yeah,
so
wrong.
The answer is no, God. It's not going to happen. Because that's the story. That's what's taking place here, right? So here's God Almighty, and he performs all of these signs. And then Moses, yeah, but I stutter, and I can't speak, and therefore, it's no, right?
Right.
But what we learn from the story is that God always provides. And so that's what he does. It's, it's kind of a cool way. It's kind of interesting,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I always imagine that even as he's having this conversation with Moses, he's working on something behind the scenes.
Right.
Because even as he's talking with Moses and saying, I'm still going to provide a way for you and your brother Aaron, it's as if Aaron starts to make the journey out to meet Moses in that moment. So his brother becomes part of the provision.
Right.
For Moses' situation.
Yeah, you remember what God said to Moses, right?
What
was okay,
it?
Well, I mean, I'll bring Aaron along. Uh-huh. You tell Aaron.
Yeah.
Right?
And then, yep.
And then Aaron will speak for you.
Right.
So he will be your voice. Mm-hmm. So God's not really letting Moses completely off the hook here, is he?
Nope.
But he's providing for Moses is no. In God's sovereignty, Moses' no became a yes for God's chosen servant, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Now remember at the start, when no becomes yes? In God's sovereignty, Moses' no became a yes for God's chosen servant, Aaron. Now, why is that? I don't know. But Deuteronomy 29:29 says there are some things only known to God, right?
Right.
There's some secrets only known to him. But here's what he was allowing to happen. So there are three lessons out of the story of the calling of Moses. And number one is God's providence, that God arranges what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? God arranges all the moving parts. And you're so right, like, here comes Aaron. Boop, 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 boop. You know, Aaron, now you got a job that you didn't think. God arranges everything in God's providence, right? How
right.
he arranges what happens.
Yes, it's so good. And the second thing we recognize is God's provision, that God is the one who provides what we need. He always provides what it is we need. He gives us what sufficiently for every day what it is that we need to continue on.
Yeah, in order to carry out God's purposes. So we have God's providence, God's provision, and God's purposes. So we're all called to carry out God's purposes and as to go into all the world and make disciples. Mm-hmm. I've navigated these areas myself, including saying no. You know, and maybe you've experienced it, that there are times when others project God's call on your life. Have you ever experienced someone coming to you and say, look, I know what God wants for you? And you go, where'd that come from, right?
Right. Yep.
I know God's will for your life, right? I know. I've had people say, here's what God's saying. You go like, well, he didn't say that to me.
Right.
But, you know, maybe it's something like, like, well, I know that we're to get married. That's God's will.
That's right. Yes. God has spoken to me. You're the one. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're the one.
That's a great opening line. Try that one sometime.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a marriage proposal,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
God's will is that you marry me, right? Right. So that goes. But you've heard those stories, and maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you have been the one that said, I know God's will for your life, right? And this is what's going to be. Some years ago, I had a leadership team from a church in our state asking and calling if I would come and be their pastor. And after some thought and prayer, Jen and I joining together in that, looking for clarity and discernment, what is God's will for us, I told them no. You know, no, it's not me. Mm-hmm. God will lead you. I was here serving Gateway, and that time, Pastor Mark, who I served with for 22 years together, but no, I need to stay where I'm at. But the inquiries didn't stop, because they knew God's will, right?
Sure.
And so the inquiries didn't stop, and I was honored by their pursuit. They even called our leadership. Now, Mario and I are part of a network of pastors led by a district, and there's a district superintendent he's called. They even called the district superintendent. He's like, called them on me, basically. That's what, you know. So it's like, we are sure that this is God's will. We are sure that Tom is supposed to be our pastor. And he was a friend of mine. He said that there's a problem here, though. He doesn't feel that way. And you know, both sides got to work, right?
Right? Seems to be the case.
Got to be a yes on both sides, and so that pretty much killed that thing, which was fine. But my no or God's no actually became a yes for God's appointed leader for that particular church. God raises up leaders to lead His people, and He brings people around them to do so. So the no here was a yes here for someone else.
And can you just imagine if you didn't say no? We'd be in a different place.
Well, yeah. And I kind of like it here, you know.
So we're glad you said no.
Thank you. But the saying no is a part of a larger story that we're going to tell you right now. And it has to do with Mario and me. So We worked together for over 20 years together. And I love this guy deeply. I know that you know that. I hope that you know that. But Noah's kind of a part of our story.
Yeah. Yeah, back in late in 2022, we were having some conversations, and what became apparent is that there's really some movement towards thinking about what's your next steps and the next steps for Gateway. And, you know, I've had conversations with some of you over the course of time. Hey, Mario, what's your next step? What do you think is going to be your move? Are you going to be taking over for Tom? And those conversations happen off and on throughout time. But in this conversation, there was just something that sparked me, like, yeah, you're really getting serious about thinking about what's next. And,
not because I'm old.
Not at all. No. Vigorous, strong.
Well, because Caleb in the Bible,
now, come on.
He says, I'm 80, but I have the strength of a 40-year-old.
Come on.
I'm not 80. So
come on. just want to clarify.
I had to insert that right there. Okay.
Thank you, okay. Yes.
But we were having those
We were. Yeah, we were having that discussion. That really led me into a spot where I felt like it was time to really get serious about what's next for me. And so the obvious choice would be that I would just step right into the senior pastor role. But something just didn't settle well about that for me. And so I just went into a time of discernment, like months. Had a mentor in my life just speaking into that process. My wife, Michelle, and I, we were having conversations and praying about that. And over the course of time, just came to a place. It was about 3 months of prayer, tears, questions. Came to a spot to realize that taking the role of lead pastor at Gateway during this season is not what God has in store for me. And it's not what God has in store for this faith community. There's multiple reasons for that, but the summary is it didn't seem like that's what the thing that the Lord is calling me to. And so with that sitting in me, and really this, it's just a tough thing they'll have to hold. I knew that it would be important to have a conversation with you about that.
Yeah, so it was last summer in, I think it was May, June, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mario sends me a note, and we talk a lot anyway, mm-hmm. I mean, but he sends me a note. He says, hey, do you think we could get together and spend some time, talk about my future at Gateway? And I'm thinking, well, of course, because I know God's will for your life. This is going to work out perfectly now, see? And so I took time. I had all my notes. We blocked out half a day to kind of begin to dive into this conversation. Mm-hmm. Took him to lunch.
Yes, you did. It was good.
Paid for his lunch.
Yes, you did. Right? Yes, you did.
That part of the story might change if I would have known what you were going to say. Next,
yes, it
right?
would have.
So, anyway, it was at lunch that you told me something.
Yeah, it was at that moment we sat down, and I said, you know, as much as I desire to even be the person to step into that role, I just don't feel like it's the right fit for me right now. And
it was a no.
It was a no.
It was a no.
It was hard. I know it caught you off guard.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. And so all the notes I had made, you know, the pathway forward, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And we did talk about what your future here would look like.
Yeah.
We did talk about that because mm-hmm. Mario is such a valuable member of the team and such a valuable member to this Gateway and pastor at this Gateway. So we did talk about what that would look like. Now, I will tell you that I was sleeping pretty well at night up to that moment, and now I'm waking up at night thinking, who's going to lead Gateway?
Right.
You know, I'm not that old, but who's going to lead Gateway? Mm-hmm. Right. And so now I am waking up at night thinking, I've messed this thing up. Mm-hmm. Well, or maybe you.
Yeah, one of us.
going back to the God's will thing,
right?
So maybe we've messed it up, right? And so then we begin to...
Yeah, and that really sparked a lot of conversations throughout that year. All of 2023 was some back and forth around that. And
I guess I didn't stop saying Mario, right?
No, you didn't. There was a lot where you would come back and say, just want to make sure, Mario, are you sure about this? Because... God's will for you is no. You didn't.
We didn't say it that way.
It
doesn't have to look just like this.
Right, just like that.
Yeah. But are you sure?
We were just trying to figure it out, and we were working through it together. And as just the year continued to press on, it never really felt like it was a change in my heart or my spirit around saying yes to that. And I knew that the weight of that was going to make it difficult for you. It was going to make it difficult for us as a faith community, but. Just felt like I needed to be faithful to what I was fearing from the Lord.
I gave you one more chance.
You did give me one more chance. come December, you said, you know what, Mario, we've talked about it, I've offered. Come December, I need to start thinking about the future and trying to prepare Gateway because I need to be thinking about the health and where Gateway's headed in the future. And so you have until the end of December and they need to make a move. And so right at the end of December, you asked me one last time, you know, is there any way that something has changed? The answer was still no. I just don't feel like this is something that the Lord has for me in this way. And so it was after that, and then it was important for you to start thinking about moving towards securing the health of Gateway.
Yeah, so I share with the Board of Elders, and I love these guys. They're godly guys who commit the future of Gateway and current Gateway and to prayer, and they lead well. But I share with the Board of Elders the direction that felt like God was leading me regarding transition and what would be my eventual retirement as lead pastor. Someone asked me, who was close to me, go like, well, did they ask you to leave? No, these guys are not that way at all. That is not the case. I just felt like it was time for us to start thinking about where God would take us in leadership and who would lead. So the reality is, and some of you know this, but Gateway has been blessed with only 3 lead pastors since 1955. That's incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. We really stand amongst, I think, few that can say that. Pastor Munger of 1955 to 1987, Pastor Mark, your father-in-law, mm-hmm. right, who led from 1988 until his retirement in 2010, and then mm-hmm. I've been privileged to be lead pastor. I've been at Gateway. I'm in my 36th year, mm-hmm. and privileged to lead Gateway now since Pastor Mark's retirement. But now we need to think about the future because we want this type of legacy to continue.
Right.
So out of that, we put together a transition team that included 2 of the Board of Elders and included a senior membership of our team. And what we began to experience was God putting the pieces together. Mm. It was incredible. I want to tell you a little bit of the story. And as he put the pieces together, we continued to sense a deep sense of peace that God was indeed leading us to the next lead pastor of Gateway, mm-hmm. that this was his doing, that the no mm-hmm. was going to be a yes over here.
Someone else, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Mario, having clarity from the Lord and discernment from the Lord, was opening the door for a yes over here. Mm-hmm. And so we put together, we had some individuals and so on, but God began to kind of work through that whole process. But this leader would have to be someone who deeply loves Jesus, but deeply loves his church, mm-hmm. deeply loves you and your kids and the students. He would have to be committed to making disciples and be deeply committed to family, mm-hmm. right? That's who we were looking for. And then someone who would be here mm-hmm. for the long term, who would be called here. These would be people who would faithfully lead you to the best of their ability. And they would embrace what Jesus is doing through this faith community. Mm-hmm. And we believe, as I mentioned, God began to put the pieces together, and God has answered our prayer, and over what I'll just call a transition weekend. I'll just call it that way, mm-hmm. where there were meetings with the pastoral staff, meeting with our board of elders, meeting with the transition team, and hours of discussing of what this could look like. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be more excited. We couldn't be more excited mm-hmm. to share with you that Pastor Jeffrey and John Portman have accepted our invitation to join our team as associate lead pastors. They will be joining us April the 15th. We will work together, and then the board will establish a special membership meeting sometime in the August timeframe. And in September, we will have a transition of leadership to a new God-called lead pastor of Gateway who is saying yes, at which time Janai will retire as lead pastor and take a break, mm-hmm. But then return as part of a part-time team in some capacity still yet to be worked out, which is hugely important to us mm-hmm. because this is a passion for me. I hope that you know that. It's not a job, and I know that is the same for you Absolutely. As well. Mm-hmm. Believing that we can be a part of something significant here, believing that as a community that is being God-led, that we can make a difference here locally and globally like you have heard. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the Portmans are God's yes to Gateway. Mm-hmm. They have deep roots here. If you were here a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jeffrey spoke. Some of you met them for the very, very first time. This is his home church, and he shared that. Jeffrey grew up in North Kitsap, graduated from North Kitsap High School. Mm-hmm. His wife graduated from Olympic High. Mm-hmm. They were married on this stage, and I can confidently tell you that they have a deep sense of calling to Gateway. Because the know that I talked about, that we talked about a little bit ago, mm-hmm. well, that's part of their story too. You won't hear them say this because honestly, it's a godly character trait that they both carry. Mm-hmm. But Jeffrey, after lead pastoring in Puyallup and planting churches, was called to the national office. And so he's had for a number of years now a national voice. He goes around the nations. And invitations to come and lead other churches and ministries larger than Gateway have come to him. I know now, and when we got into the discussions, that in December, for example, when he was here for his family visiting and so on, at that time, he was praying through five invitations from different churches mm. who were saying, now I'm putting words in their mouth, hey, we know God's will for your life, you know. but he said no. He said no to them, and he has said yes to Gateway because God's calling on their lives. And we are excited, yeah. and the Portmans are excited, mm-hmm. and I want you to hear from them right now.
Hello, Gateway. Pastor Jeffrey and Dwayne Gordon here. And we are both excited and expectant for the next season there at Gateway. We love Paulsbo, we love the Peninsula, and we love your pastors. They've been pastors, mentors, and friends of ours for decades, and we're so excited for this next chapter.
When I was 7, my parents relocated our family from Hawaii to Bremerton, and since then, we've considered the Peninsula our home. In fact, both of our parents still live there. We look forward to coming to help lead the church and seeing Pastor Tom and Jen's vision, their dreams, and even more come true.
That's right. We know that since the birth of Gateway, since the early days of the church, the mission has been to make disciples. And that always has been, and that always will be its purpose. And we know this, that Jesus is building his church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We cannot wait to join you, and we will see you very soon.
The partners. And he has white hair.
It must be God-led.
They will love you well, and they will lead you well. I couldn't pass this thing off to anyone who wouldn't do that, right? Who wouldn't be faithful to God's word. Who wouldn't love you and who wouldn't care for you? And that's the both of our hearts. And we believe that God has orchestrated all of this. And so we're looking forward to the future. When I say this is not a job for me, that's both of us. It's not a job. We've talked about that. But a passion that we look forward to being a part of.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to be clear. Paul's was home for us.
Right.
Yeah. I don't plan on going anywhere.
No, you're not. Yeah.
I hope
yeah.
you don't plan on going
anywhere. No, not going to go anywhere.
Because God's got stuff to do.
Right. Right.
He's just getting started with what he wants to do in the hearts and lives of each and every one of us. There are people that need to be reached. He has a young generation of young people that are coming up that are just fantastic. God's on the move here, and we have the opportunity of something, a part of something fresh and new to see what he does. It's been wonderful. The ride has been awesome so far. I wouldn't want to be anyplace else then, and I don't want to be anyplace else now. So looking forward to what God has in store.
I told Jeffrey that, Pastor Jeffrey that, and the others, and we're going to be on the front row rooting on what God's doing, and we'll be so blessed. Jeffrey was saying, he goes, this is not a prophecy or anything like that. He goes, but when I was out there trolling the church, which I didn't know he was doing, right, in December, he said, I could just envision us having to blow out the lobby to make room for people who are connecting and who are being discipled. It's look, you've heard me say it before. This is not about an individual. It's not about Tom. It's not about Mario. Mm-hmm. It's not about Pastor Jeffrey. It's about what Jesus is doing here. It's about the impact that we will have locally and globally for the Lord Jesus Christ in making disciples.
Amen.
So that's our story. That's our story. And I'm just going to, we're going to lead in prayer in just a moment. But I'm going to just invite you along, every one of you. It's maybe your first Sunday here. I'm going to invite you along for what God is going to be doing. You may be those families, we have them, that we can't get rid of you, and you're here. Stay connected. Right. Stay part of what Jesus is doing and will be doing in the future. I'm so excited. It's going to be absolutely amazing as the vision of Gateway is embraced and expanded to brand new areas. But here's what we want to pray today. You may be struggling with a no right now in your life. You may have really connected with that somehow in a different way, but you know, the no, and you just don't understand why God keeps saying no. Well, it's because somewhere along the line, I don't know where it is, there's a yes out here somewhere.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a yes out here. God's leading you and God's directing you. Remember God's providence, God's provision, and God's purpose. That is for all of us.
Right.
That's not just for people who stand up here. That's for every follower of Jesus. So God arranges things in your life and in my life and in our lives, and He has, and we have sensed that deeply, haven't we?
Right.
Absolutely. In all of this, right? Mm-hmm. And God provides what we need as we seek to fill His purposes, to accomplish His purposes in life. So I'm going to pray for the no. Mario's going to pray for the yes. And I'm just going to invite us once again, like we have, to just kind of go like, okay, God, I received that. Mm-hmm. Now lead me. Turn my no to a yes. Show me what you have for me. Can we do that?
Yeah.
So, Father, I thank you today that we can gather together and we can celebrate what you're doing in the world, as Michelle shared, and right here at Gateway. We can celebrate how you faithfully lead people. That includes all of us here. It doesn't include any one or two people or a few people. God, you lead all of us. And sometimes you do that through the no. And there are some, I'm sure, who are struggling with the no right now, whatever that is. But God, it's your leading in their lives. We don't understand it all, but you're leading through the no. And so God, in this moment, we just open up our hands and say, okay, God, then lead me to the yes.
Yes.
Take me from the no to the yes, I pray.
God, you're always at work behind the scenes in ways that we know and ways that we don't know. And God, you are working out everything to the good of those who you call according to your purposes, those who love you. You are at work on our behalf in ways that we don't deserve. And God, we thank you that at the end of the day, you continue to provide, you continue to bring everything that's needed for us to move into the purposes and plans that you have in store for us. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to help us to move in faith the things you have in store for us. There is a yes, Lord, in this place. A yes for what you want to do in the hearts and lives of people. A yes to continue to reach out into this community. A yes to see a next generation grow up into who you called them to be. A yes for every man and woman in this place and online to respond to the call of the gospel being lived out in and through their lives. There is a yes in this place today. And Father, we want to be a people who have a heart posture that also says yes to you, to your kingdom, to your purposes, and what you have in store for us. Regardless of the heartache and the things that might come, God, we thank you that in the darkest places, in the turmoil and situations of life, you are there. It gives us confidence for what you have for us in store for us in the future. And so, Lord, as a faith community, Lord, we offer ourselves to you and declare that it's not our will or our kingdom being built, it's yours. And that's why it is, Lord Jesus, we can sing these words, that it's in you alone, in Christ alone, that our hope is found. We declare that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we take time to sing?
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, where fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Oh, 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 Jesus, come in.